Whipper.
G'day, podcasters. Since you've already hit play, you may as well dirty up those digits with Red Rooster's new crispy chicken wings and dipping sauce. With spicy buffalo or creamy ranch sauce to choose from, head to redrooster.com.au, click order now, and they'll bring them to you. Red Rooster, now delivered straight to your door. Game changer. Delivery available in select stores only.
G'day, team. Welcome to the podcast. Good to have you here with us. God, we never do word of the day on the podcast. We should chuck that in at the start. Tommy, you got a word of the day you can throw in?
I'm just what do you want to go thinking with? Of it now. Hang on.
Loser?
You've really put... Nope. No. Okay, all right. Word of the day. Phlegmatic.
Phlegmatic.
Yeah. Phlegmatic. Which is... Oh, this works.
Yeah.
It's resembling the humour phlegm. So it's... Like, you laugh so hard, some phlegm comes up.
Something you're never, ever going to get anywhere else. And that's why this podcast is so special. Not to mention, you'll hear nothing more about phlegmatic.
Yeah. Word of the day. Take it home. Tell everyone.
Yeah. Hopefully you get more out of the podcast than just that word.
Can we talk about Masters? Because we've, you know, it's very similar to Dick Smith. We've been hearing that it's been closing down for a very, very long time, waiting for the sales to come along, but we haven't really seen any cheap prices.
No.
It's got to the point now where customers, and I can understand, you want to go in there and you want to, people want to get, they expect something for nothing.
Yep.
Right, which is understandable. When they don't get it, this is astounding, some of the stuff that they're doing, that it's got to the point where Masters employees now have hired security at all the stores because people are blowing up. Like, one lady said that she just had a person yelling at her the whole day, mm-hmm. saying that this is not good enough, the prices aren't good enough.
Because you know they're closing down, so you expect anything, be it a toolbox or a washing machine, to be at least half price.
Mm.
I mean, there's nothing else they can do in terms of run this business, so you would expect the prices have just been slashed.
Well, you can't blame the employees. The customers have been stealing and going through fire exits with products... verbally abusing staff on the way out, swapping price tickets, throwing merchandise on the ground, telling me and others that we deserve to lose our jobs.
My God, they're about to.
This is unbelievable. Like, this is all, that's all the damaged stuff of people picking it up, seeing that they're not, that there's no sale on the, on the item, and then throwing it on the ground and breaking it.
Because there was news getting around the other day, and it was at Masters, and it was an item which was listed for, like, $70, but then there was a price sticker over the top of it that someone had peeled back, and the price on front was $140. So it's like they've slashed the prices, then realised people are coming in and gone, no, get them back to the original price, guys.
Down the road from us, we had a surf shop called Wind and Wave when we were kids. And they had bugger all stuff in there. They had a few couple of skate brands, but they had all these Coke jumpers that he obviously got from a merchandise.
Yeah, right.
Like, he got them for free.
Yep.
And he was selling them in there for $50 a pop.
Awesome.
Then up on the front of he had this sale one day, and out the front it was like the 50% sale. Everything must go. And we went in there, and the Coke jumpers were still $50. We're like, Dave, mate, these were $50 a week ago. And he goes, no, but they've gone up to 100, and I've slashed them by half.
You missed the moment they went up in price.
What about this? This is from another Masters employee. She said, she's put this up on Facebook. I just had this lovely conversation. Customer. Hi, how are you? No, she said to the customer, mm-hmm. Hi, how are you? The customer said, better than you. She said, why? What's wrong with me? And the customer said, well, you don't have a job and I do.
Oh, God.
Oh, man, what is wrong with these people?
It's like a war going on the minute you walk through the doors. Has anyone ever been to Masters? Has anyone in this room ever walked into a Masters? There's the problem.
Is
right
it just,
there.
Well, it's exactly the same as Bunnings,
well,
isn't it?
It's meant to be more feminine, so there were more sort of homely-based products. That was the idea behind Masters.
Right, okay.
And I think their biggest business mistake is not having a sausage sizzle out the front. I reckon they went wrong.
That's right.
Like Bunnings.
So just be patient with Masters, okay? There will be a sale on very soon, and if you go in there, look after the employees.
Yeah. It's coming, guys.
Hang
in there.
Spit in their face. Sydney Morning Herald brought out a list of the 13 biggest rip-offs money can buy. And look, just, you know, there's ones like activated almond milk. I didn't know that was so expensive. Mm. It's $5 or more a litre.
Mate, almonds in general are so expensive.
Mm, aren't they? A bag of almonds is like $12.
Unbelievable. Every time we get the old delivery, the shopping, I look down the list to see how much things cost, and the almonds. just standing out.
Good for your nuts, though.
Almonds.
Yeah, the old nuts. We don't eat enough nuts during the day. Do you know what I've gone back to? The basics here of, remember the growing up as kids and you were taught in primary school just the five food groups.
Yeah.
Just trying to get one piece of fruit and some nuts in a day.
Yeah, right.
And your bread and your cereals.
Don't you get nuts in other things, though? Like if you eat cereal, seed bread or cereal, aren't you getting the same stuff?
I would never snack on nuts.
Do you like tapes or CDs?
Okay, keep going.
Canned oxygen. Oh, well, that's we don't get that here.
What do you use that for?
Well, apparently that's big in China and that.
Yeah.
Like, but apparently the precious oxygen in places, including the Blue Mountains, Bondi and the Yarra Valley.
Oh, yeah, we spoke about this the other day.
It's aimed at Chinese tourists. Is looking for some pollution-free air. Upwards of 255 breaths you get in a can for just over $20 a tin.
I'm just sucking on Bondi Beach.
The other biggest rip-offs, the stuff like that we all need, like paying for an ATM.
Yep.
That is a rip-off.
That's a rip-off.
Mm. Makes you so angry when the banks make so much money, but you still have to withdraw money out and it costs you money. Lotto, they say the lotto is the biggest rip-off because the odds of you winning are so low.
But you know what you're doing there.
Well, that's right.
I mean, it's a take-all type situation.
That's gambling, I suppose. Business class airfares. I agree with this one. I can't justify how you could pay for a business class airfare.
Well, what's your average business class flight to, say, the States? If you're going here to LA.
So, yeah.
10 return?
So, say you're right. Los Angeles is $10,000 return for a little bit of extra leg room. You can lay down and have a kip, and the food's a bit better.
It's a huge difference.
Yeah, it's massive.
So, it'd be $5,000 difference?
Mm.
No, I mean what you're paying for is a huge difference.
Oh, you'd pay for it.
I'm so sorry. Who's giving you free business class flights?
Well, no, I didn't realize. You're doing well, mate.
What?
Are you saying you're happy to pay the $10,000?
I'm saying I could never afford it, but I can understand why people would. It is such a huge difference when you're sitting in economy on a 14-hour flight,
Sarah,
getting
squashed
by the person next to you who might be 20 kilos
Sarah.
Overweight.
Sarah, economy
very exclusive for you.
Economy to LA, you could probably get for $3,000 return. You would pay an extra $7,000 for 14 hours of having extra legroom.
If I had the money, yes, I would.
Sarah likes the comforts.
Movie popcorn. That's a total rip-off.
Can I do a shout-out to a mate of mine, Matty Spargo, this morning? Yeah. Without a word of a lie, he's an eye surgeon. He's my age, so he's 37. Makes his own popcorn at home and takes it to the movies
with
him.
That's not bad.
Yeah, he just won't.
Then buys the pack, like buys 24 cans of Coke and takes one of those to the cinema too, so he doesn't have to pay the prices there.
That's good. I like that. Pet insurance. Apparently a lot of people are getting pet insurance and they're saying that the excesses are so high and the exclusion list so long, you could well come out ahead by saving the premiums into a furry friend fund instead.
But that makes sense, pet insurance. My dad did his knee at the same time the dog Jesse did. His knee for an arthroscope was $1,200. The dog's knee was $1,800. He wanted to have it put down.
Just cut the leg off.
We kept the dog.
I meant your dad.
Oh, sorry.
Another rip-off is full price clothes at Myer. If you, or David Jones, if you pay full price at Myer and David Jones, you're kidding yourself. Because they have sales all the time.
So many sales.
New television technology. This is a good one. You know when a new telly comes out and you go, oh, that's awesome, I need it. But then if you wait a year.
That's all you got to do.
It halves.
Just wait a year.
Brand new cars. We know this one, 30 to 50% of their value the moment you drive out of the showroom floor.
Yep.
Car with a Range Rover or anything like that, you just straight away it's gone.
I drive a Hyundai.
Anything with the word wedding in it.
Oh, bang. If it's that's got a W there, mate, it's three times the price. Wedding is the ultimate rip-off. Never, ever get married.
We're just getting ripped off from everywhere. Masters.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean, Sarah? We're just what's happened to the world these days?
I've never seen a Masters store. I'm still kind of confused as to what we're talking
about. I don't know where they are.
If anyone works at Masters, give us a call, 13 24 10. Private tour for Sarah.
Yeah, you've got to go before they shut up store.
Oh, I can't
this
wait.
This is your one moment, sir.
The Say I Do Down Under campaign. You may have seen these T-shirts. Some of the biggest celebrities around the world are wearing them now.
Yep.
And one man that's got behind this great campaign is Kylie Minogue's boyfriend. His name is Joshua Sass, and he joins us now. Thanks for coming on the show, Josh.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks for having me, man.
Mate,
thanks,
we have our Say I Do Down Under t-shirts on as we speak. We're right behind you with this, mate. We think it's a great idea. This campaign has been going on for too long. Can you tell us how you got the passion to get behind this campaign as well, Josh?
Yeah, well, I mean, literally, I just found out that it was the case, and it just shocked me. And ever since then, it's sort of been a snowball effect, and I don't know. I can't really have an answer for it other than I thought I could do something about it, and so I tried my best, and here we are.
And, I mean, Josh, you and Kylie the other day came out and said you're not actually going to tie the knot until this passes. Is that right?
Yeah. Well, I don't know how we can, in all good conscience, be running a campaign like this and then get married in the middle of it. I mean, that's not ethical, is it?
No, but you know what? My concern is knowing this government, it can drag out for far too long,
man.
You might be sitting there going, well, I just want to marry my beautiful girl. Come on,
well,
guys.
Yeah, but there are millions of people across Australia who want to marry their girl and marry their boy, and they can't.
Well, that's right.
There's no difference between us and them.
Josh, you know what you need to do, and I don't know if you've been to one before, but your beautiful lady is the queen of the Mardi Gras, but you know, this is probably more important than ever, the next Mardi Gras at the start of 2017. We need to get you down. We need to get a Say I Do Down Under float going and make this a huge stamp our feet to the government and really send a message out there at the Mardi Gras.
Well, I'm in.
Yeah. Thanks. Have you been to one before, Josh?
No, I haven't. I've been to a Mardi Gras in New Orleans, which was quite something, but I don't remember a lot of it.
That's the same as ours.
Yeah, no, it's a decent party here, mate. We'd love to have you here. Can I just point out something else that's shocked me to the core? I'm reading here, Josh, on your beautiful wife-to-be, that the only song that you knew before meeting Kylie was Can't Get You Out of My Head. You didn't know the rest. You didn't know Locomotion. You didn't know the back catalogue. Is that right?
Well, it's not really, but that wasn't really the kind of, I was raised on Chuck Berry and Muddy Waters. A different sort of vein. My stepdad was a kind of rock and roll man, and he'd play me old school blues and that kind of stuff.
Neighbours though, Josh, you settled in for a bit of Neighbours growing up then. I mean.
No, I didn't really. I think my sister was doing that. I didn't really understand. I mean, I don't watch TV now, and I'm more of a big kind of culture follower. I was a bit sort of, had kind of green fingers and was out kind of. In the marginal, really.
Did you know who Kylie was when you first met her, though, Josh?
Well, I didn't walk in and say, who the f*** are you?
Nah, not a good opener.
But I do love those stories when you get a huge superstar and the person that they do meet is usually someone that has no idea who they are, because then they can
have a real conversation.
That's right.
Well, I mean, though, look, I didn't walk in and sort of... I wasn't a mega fan.
No. What was your opening line when you met her, though? Was it a line or was it just... What was the conversation?
We met when I was filming Gallivant, my show, and she was guesting, and so it was just, you know, cordial and just trying to be professional.
Well, Josh, we love this campaign. We're right behind it, mate. You're doing a great job. I think it's only a matter of time when we call you an honorary Australian. So, mate, well done on this. The Say I Do Down Under campaign. Get right behind it. And, Josh, thanks for joining us.
Thank you so very much, guys. And thanks for supporting the foundation and the movement. And good on you.
Absolutely. Good on you, mate.
And we wish all the students, 77,000 students, best of luck. HSE exams today. English kicks off. The first English exam. Brings back memories, man.
Oh, I struggled with that exam.
Tell me about it.
I still do.
Two issues. I thought I was so cool in year 12 that I changed the front of the book, which said, To Kill a Mockingbird, to Kill a Mockingbird.
That's good.
It's just so funny.
It's not bad.
And then remember the story when I went into the library because I can't read. And I said, oh, look, can I get the audio book of Helmet, Shakespeare's Helmet? She said, what are you talking about? And I said, you know, Shakespeare, of course, Helmet. Do you mean Hamlet? Yeah, if you've got that, I'll take that one, I suppose.
Gosh.
It doesn't have to be Helmet.
Sarah, do you remember the nerves driving to your first ever exam?
Oh, God, yeah. And checking so many times that you had the right coloured pencil or pen, even though, really, that would have made no difference whatsoever. But they told you it had to be blue.
If that was your biggest issue, you're flying through your exams.
Well, I didn't do so badly, whereas you didn't even pass.
I did pass.
No, you didn't.
Sarah,
we can do this again.
A pass. pass. It wasn't a pass. 16. You either completed your VCE, which was what I did, and you got your certificate for completing your VCE.
Did they go softer on you because you were from Victoria?
No, it depends how well you passed.
No. But I don't understand. When you get 16 out of 100, that is not a pass.
But that's an overall score. It's not an individual subject breakdown.
No, that's all of them together.
That's an overall score. So it's not as if it was a pass or fail being a 50%. It was, if you've achieved the criteria, you get your certificate.
That's
then
like,
it depends how well you come through. And obviously, I didn't come through with shining
you know
colours,
what that
guys.
Is? That's like receiving the most improved award at the footy.
The participation award, the team player.
That's fine.
No, they work it out by averaging all your results. So the average of all of your exams, result was 16.
Rounded
so you
up to 17.
Reckon that you passed any of your subjects?
Yeah, absolutely.
No, you didn't.
I completed what was required, Sarah.
Don't
excuse
get
me,
mad.
I've just hurt my fist.
Hey, no, for any kids out there, if you're on your way to exams as well now, there's a great campaign, the Reach Out campaign. Life doesn't end after exams, all right?
I mean, have a look at me.
And if you don't...
there's a case study.
These couple of half-cutters prove that.
Yeah, right, we want to make people feel better with
it. And you know what? If you don't know what you want to do yet, that is totally fine. Make sure, take your time, and then you can work it out in the next couple of years. But we want to wish you all luck today. Hopefully you've studied hard, you've got plenty of sleep, and get ready to party! Schoolies, where is it this year, Sam?
I don't know.
Goldie,
line them up, sir. Organise the flights.
We are going to the Goldie at the end of the year.
Yeah, we are, but thankfully...
Is that for schoolers?
I don't think we do miss
you
schoolers.
You bloody beauty.
A week.
I reckon we're in.
Toolies.
What's the worst type of passenger to sit next to on a plane? Just someone really fat.
Screaming kid.
Screaming kid.
Yep.
You'd take a fat person over a screaming kid, wouldn't you?
Yep.
You know what we do when we fly? We go to the chemist and we buy a whole heap of earplugs just in case one of the kids is terrible, and then we can hand them out like lollies to keep everyone happy.
That's not me.
I'll just tell them to put their headphones on.
Well, someone sits next to you, do they get a little? Is there a little bit of a huff?
They go, "Oh my god, it's Whipper from Nova."
No, they don't.
Did you get into the industry? No, what's it like being famous?
I'm going to struggle to get my arm down on this chair here.
The worst one whips though are people who have the flu.
Yeah.
And who cough.
Oh, yeah.
And sneeze a lot.
Bad
and you
odor.
Think, please don't sit near me because I'm going to get sick by the time we land.
So true.
Do you know what I reckon is worse than bad odor? Someone who wears too much fragrance.
Yes.
You know, that's too much aftershave.
Too much perfume. It's like choking.
What about, I had a taxi driver the other day and he just kept going like this there.
Oh, yuck. Yeah, cocking.
What are you doing, mate? Yeah. I was about to get out. Don't do that.
Gross.
Anyway, here's one type of passenger you don't want to be sitting next to. A dead one. 45 minutes into a flight.
At least they're quiet.
They're very quiet.
I wouldn't mind it.
From Moscow to Russia, this poor diabetic woman, she didn't take her insulin. She put it underneath.
Oh,
don't do that.
Do you know, there's an Arnold Schwarzenegger movie. I think it's Commando. Great move. They were taking him. They had to take him. So the security had to take him somewhere else. So he got on the plane.
Mm.
The security guard that was sitting next to him was on the window side.
Yeah.
And Arnie wanted to get off the plane. So he did the old elbow to the face, broke the guy's neck, then put him up against, so the guy was gone.
Yeah.
So put him up there and then put like a pillow and a little doona over the top of him.
Sleeping.
And then the flight attendant came down and said, "Does he want some food?" And he said, "No, don't bother him. He's dead tired."
I thought that was a
really good touch just to finish it all off.
Yeah, I mean, it was a great story just to get the impersonation out of
you.
Can you do the line again?
So if thinking about, you know, getting away from someone on a plane...
Was he hungry? Did he want any food?
Nah. Well, Arnie had the guy's food.
He was dead tired. That's what he's trying to get out of you, Fitz.
Well, he got off the plane. He went down into cargo and jumped off the plane as it took off.
Yeah, no, I just wanted the line again. 13, 24, 10 if you've been on a flight with someone's died. I mean, the other problem you've got, I don't want to be too gruesome on a Wednesday or Thursday morning. Often when you die, you kind of just lose your bowels a bit, don't you, Sarah? So that wouldn't be great.
Well, why are you asking
I know it.
I refer all medical questions to you because your dad's a doctor.
You do, yeah.
But thanks for confirming that.
Yeah.
Sharon from Menai, what happened to you?
Oh, hi, guys. This happened to me on a flight from Melbourne, Adelaide to Melbourne, and it was just the most dreadful thing.
What, someone died?
Someone actually died, absolutely.
Oh, so how did they pass away, Sharon?
Well, there was no signs where he was just dead.
Oh.
So, like, literally, so they said you know, you get the ding, please prepare the cabin for landing.
Yeah.
And all the little, you know, Death Star women running frantically picking, you know, menial things up like, you know, plastic coffee stirrers and things off the ground. And they run past you and say, sir, can you please put your chair in the upright position and tray table up? And sir's really not taking any notice at all. And wow. I sit next to him. Well, we've got a seat between us. And I'm next to the window, and I'm kind of a bit of a goody-goody, so I wanted to have my tray table up and my seat upright, right, so she just smiled at me, because I love being, like, not getting into trouble.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I'm just getting a bit worried about this man who's just, like, clearly not paying any attention. He's asleep.
Yeah.
And I just thought, oh, well, not my problem. So anyway, three times the woman said, could you put your seat up? And one of them came and slammed his tray table up and sort of gave me a look. And anyway, then sort of when it was getting crucial time to landing, they sort of said, sir, could you put your feet into the upright position, please? And then I gave him a bit of a nudge to wake him up, and he just went, straight down.
He went down, no. And then you knew he was in a bit of trouble.
So then the panic was on, you can imagine. Well, I was just not knowing what to do. At first I thought, I just wanted to even look, and then I'm there, oh, my God, oh, my God. And so this was a terrible, and then there were just, you know, 100 Death Star notes, because it's just that many stuff. So many people running down, and then they were calling ambulances and this and that. So by the time we land, so then they did this strange thing with the seatbelt and kind of tried to bring him up with, like, these little seatbelt extensions. And because they were, like, giving him CPR all the way down, like, they weren't in their jump seat.
Sharon, that is unbelievable.
What a story. Because I don't know what to do. In that situation, what do you do when you've realised that he's not breathing?
On a big plane, I think there's somewhere you can take them, but on a little one like this story, they just lie them out in the line.
I know.
It's unbelievable, Sharon. Sounded like she was more from Double Bay than Menai, but anyway.
First thing you do is see if you can maybe get his... Or just the pretzels and that he's got left over, I suppose.
I thought you were going to say get his wallet out of his pocket.
He's
fine.
He's dead tired.
Oh, man. That was a...
You've missed the start of the story, DeGroote. It was Fitzy's impersonation of Arnold Schwarzenegger.
No, well, that mine was totally different to that. But Sharon, thanks for your call.
Sharon. Lights, camera, hilarity. Sarah. There's some sad news with the old Selena Gomez. What's going on?
Yeah, there are reports she's actually in a rehab treatment facility for depression, anxiety attacks and panic attacks.
Oh, the poor kid.
Yeah, really sad. And I know that a little while ago we did talk about it because she'd cancelled some tours and said she was going to take a bit of a break having finished a tour series overseas.
Mm.
But she has lupus and it affects her mental health as well, and she just gets very stressed out and very down on herself, and friends have said she can get to a really dark place. So she's gone to rehab, and fingers crossed she'll be okay.
Okay.
Bit sad, though.
Keep an eye on that one.
Kim Kardashian, I said the other day how they were getting some DNA from the necklace. Yes, and those investigations are continuing. And then yesterday, Khloe came out and said Kim's really struggling and that the family have pulled back on social media. Well, Kim's jumped back on Twitter, but she's unfollowed lots and lots of people, particularly anyone who's made negative comments about this incident. One strange move, though, is that she's re-releasing this week her... do you remember that coffee table book that's called Selfish?
Oh, yeah.
In that, she's re-releasing it, including this photo that wasn't originally there. It's a nude selfie when she was pregnant with North.
Okay.
That's a picture of it. So it's her pregnant belly, and she's in the nude.
You got to buy the book again
to get the
one extra nude photo.
Do you know, I think there's two or three extra photos.
Okay, there you go.
But it just feels like a strange move and some strange timing when you're trying to pull back from the spotlight.
What about the Kim Kardashian party costume?
Oh, my goodness. Did you see that?
Yeah.
The gag, wasn't it? And a wig.
And you're tied up.
Was it like...
So was someone selling that, or someone like dress up like that at a fancy dress?
A costume shop.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
You buy it for your Christmas party.
Yeah.
Bad taste?
Little bit of bad taste. You give it till next year at least.
Yeah, at least give it.
Yeah.
Guys, Miley Cyrus, she might be engaged to Liam Hemsworth, but she has come out and said that her first love was actually not a guy. It was a girl. She said it was very hard because she grew up in a religious religious Southern family, and her parents didn't really understand, but she always believed that one day they would. And she says it's because she doesn't look at people as boys or girls. She fell in love with a person.
Well, I think that's no surprise. She's also behind the Say I Do Down Under campaign as well. You would have seen these T-shirts. Yeah. And we spoke to Josh Sass this morning, who is Kylie Minogue's
fiance,
boyfriend.
Yeah,
so... a lot of people are getting behind this campaign.
She's had a few girlfriends, Miley, hasn't she?
I don't know that she has. I think she had some private relationships after Liam that were a bit...
Right, she didn't
really come out about, but they were with women, I think.
I'm a fan. Wrecking Ball is one of the greatest songs ever written.
I'm a fan too.
It's such to a great song. She sang it, mate.
She's confident and strong. I think she's a really good role model.
Yeah, me too. Is, yeah.
Finally, Kate Middleton might be royalty, but is trying to show us she's exactly like the rest of us. She got an economy flight on British Airways home from the Netherlands back to the UK the other day.
Don't bother. We know you live in a castle. Sit in business class or get in a private jet. Stop trying to convince me you're the average person.
Yeah, I don't find it impressive either, because I think you're not taking advantage of all the things that this life has given you.
The average person would be sitting up the front.
That's
why she's more relatable, mate. You know what I mean?
Yeah, sure.
I don't know.
Sure thing.
Hey, podcasters, if you're enjoying today's show so much you can't be bothered cooking, head to redrooster.com.au, click order now, and they'll bring their famous chicken to you. Like the new crispy chicken wings with spicy buffalo or creamy ranch sauce. Whether you can't be bothered cooking or the halftime hunger kicks in, Red Rooster now delivers straight to your door. Game changer. Delivery available in select stores only.
Always wonder how much your neighbours know about you. I mean, we're pretty close up, our neighbours. I mean, Dean and Ali next door. I know Dean's doing the barbie on a Sunday night. You can smell it. He fires it up around 5:30 and gets the steaks on close to 6. You know your neighbour's routine, and you wonder how much they're looking out for you. You've got to trust in your neighbours and your neighbourhood, and this is an interesting one because a lady has sent a letter to her neighbour. They're not that close, and it was just addressed to the woman of the house. And in the letter, it goes into detail about how she, as the neighbour, wanted to let her know that her boyfriend has had another girl, or her husband has had another girl at the apartment while she wasn't there. The note said, "I'm sorry, they looked like more than just friends." Wonderful question, whether you tell a stranger that they're being cheated on.
Oh, you're dobbing a cheater.
Would you?
Well, the moral question that you do ask in this situation, it's usually with a friend. If you know if your friend is being cheated on, or if they're getting... Sorry, if he's being cheated on or whatever, and it's the other way around, do you look out for a friend? Do you tell a friend if you know that they're being cheated on, all this kind of stuff? But a complete stranger, I don't know if you want to get involved.
It depends where you are, I suppose, because your first reaction is not... none of my business. You know, I don't know what's going on in their relationship. Therefore, I'm not going to get in the way. But then if you thought, it depends on the circumstance. If I worked in a jewellery store, right? Like you did, Frazee. What was the name of your jeweller?
Yeah, Clark the Jeweller.
If I worked for Clark the Jeweller.
Yeah.
And I knew, a guy comes in and I know that his girlfriend's cheating on him. And he's about to drop a whole lot of cash on an engagement ring. I reckon if I was at Clark the Jewellers, then I'd say something.
No,
do you know what I mean?
You'd lose your job.
You can't just step in because you think he's going to waste money. There's so many bigger things at stake than what he'll spend on the ring.
No, but it's where the position is or the position of the relationship.
Well, it's very dangerous for a neighbour to do that based on a look. If they don't have evidence,
enough. I think she went in pretty hard.
How do you know, though? You don't know. They might be in an open relationship.
They might be in an open relationship, but apparently the neighbour had heard arguments where she was heard yelling, "I just can't trust you."
Oh, apparently is a big word you're using there. You're just making this up.
Okay, well, I'll throw in that it came from source. We all know source is reliable.
A friend.
I mean, what are you going to do?
Some people in these situations, all right, everyone's individual, but I think some people have stronger values than others. So when you hear about someone cheating, there's always people out there that go, "Oh, well, if that's what they want to do, go for it. They can do that. You know what? Karma will probably catch up with them and they'll get busted." Then there's other people out there that go, "Oh, that's disgraceful. And if I ever find out that you're doing it or, you know, if anyone around me is doing it, I will dob on you." There's a lot of people out there that want to take it up, you know, and it's a lot more stronger with them than others.
Do you think it's more of a girl thing to do?
To dob someone in?
Yeah.
No, not really. I reckon a bloke's more likely to do it. Women have the ability to see in shades of grey. You guys see black and white, so all you think is, cheating wrong, or You know, yes or no. Whereas you're right, if that person, you don't know the relationship circumstance, and if maybe they've been distanced for a while, doesn't make it okay, but don't get involved.
Yeah, but should she have maybe gone to the guy and said, hey, I know what you're doing.
Well, how would you feel?
Just thought I'd let you know I'm across it.
If you were standing on the street doing something in your front garden and a stranger walks up to you, or even a neighbour that you've just seen in passing comes up to you and says, hey, I think Lisa or your wife might be cheating on you.
Yeah.
Do you appreciate that, though, from a stranger?
If the stranger came up to me and he knew I was cheating and he came up to me and he said, hey, mate, I just thought I'd let you know, it's quite obvious. I've been keeping an eye from across the road. I'd go, thanks. I'll wear a fake moustache.
No.
Mind your own business.
What if you receive... Yeah. Like this story, a note in your letterbox from your neighbour that you didn't know, saying your wife's cheating on you, there's guys coming around to your house.
Would you
take it?
I'd appreciate it.
Would you think it's legitimate?
No, because I know Lisa.
Oh, see?
What are you saying? Is this something you know?
But then what if they're not cheating? Look at the trouble you cause somebody's relationship.
Yeah, but I would want to know. I'd be grateful for the information. Thanks for the intel. I'll take it from here.
And
guys,
if she weren't cheating, and you are now forever suspicious, someone is chipping away at the trust in your relationship.
You wouldn't take it for a grain of salt, mate. No. It's not legitimate. You don't know this person. You don't know if they're fair dinkum or not.
You never know who's coming round to your house. That's the thing. Jerome, welcome to the show. What did your mate do?
Yeah, so he's hooked up with a girl and he's over her place and found out that she's got a boyfriend.
Right.
So he felt guilty about it and she's gone to the toilet and put a note. You know how boys put the toilet up, the toilet lid up?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So he put the note under there saying, look, I'm sorry to tell you this, but your girlfriend's been cheating on you, because she'd never see that. So the first thing that he's going to do when he puts up the lid is see the note and find out.
All right. So now wait up. Now he would put... Oh, okay, because she's got the toilet seat down all the time.
He
put it up underneath the toilet seat. So when the guy comes around and he pulls the seat up, he'll see the note.
Yeah, exactly. And then she found out, or he found out about it.
That's not bad.
I mean, it's a cryptic surprise. It's cryptic. You're going for a quick tingle.
But effective.
Just before you sit down.
Because then he would have been going, Jenny, what's this? What's this note in the toilet? And then she's freaking out, sweating bullets, going, oh, God, I'm gone here. No, I don't know.
Yeah.
Because she's English.
Yep.
And then he's going, well, explain yourself. I've been sleeping with three other guys. That's how it would play out.
What we might do from now on, like whatever the topic might be, we'll get the story from the caller and then Fitzy will act out the story.
Oh, perfect.
Are you cool with that? Because I reckon it works really well.
That and your Arnold Schwarzenegger impersonation from earlier.
You've had a big morning.
He's dead tired.
Very good. There it is again.
Only gets better.
Well, then he could go, well, who have you been cheating with?
Yep.
This guy here. Okay. He's dead dying.
All right.
Oh, you've combined two stories.
Okay, mate.
Have a rest.
You're all right. What's in your coffee, mate?
Someone get him out of here.
Shine your shoes for your governor.
Fits in with us. Tell me more.
That's right, everyone's got a headline. We're going to talk to Sam from St. Clair in a minute. He's going to need to make a big decision about what he wants to hear more about. Who's going to fire off the first headline, says?
Ladies first, thank you.
Here we go.
Headline says, how one man's haircut brought down an aeroplane.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, that's a good one.
God, is that Whipper?
Nice teaser. No, not my hairstyle. Mind if I take it from here? Headline reads... What does a Chinese boss force his employees to do to him every morning?
Oh, that's only in China.
Tell me more.
Do you want me to go?
Righto.
Here we go. Headline reads, the new way Japanese men are being punished is ball breaking.
Oh, I want to hear more about that too. I want a Chinese and Japanese. What do you want me to go? Headline reads.
Headline reads, man goes to extreme lengths to ask woman out. Now the group says that's the most interesting so
far. That's not bad.
I don't mind the idea of the Japanese and the balls.
Tom, here we go.
Let's go to Sam and St. Clair. What story do you want to hear more about, Sam?
I think Matty DeGroote is pretty cool, but I want to hear more about the Chinese boss.
That's mine! What does a Chinese boss force his employees to do every morning? This is unbelievable. Between 9 and 9.30, he makes all the female employees line up and give him a kiss on the lips.
Oh, my God. Oh. Whipper does this, but on the cheek when he leaves to go home on a Friday.
Donald Trump got offices in China, has he?
Well, apparently he got the idea from a company out of the States. You're right, Fitzy. He's come under fire, the poor guy. I mean, they line up. He says it improves the corporate culture and improves relationships.
Oh, give me a break.
It fosters good relationships amongst the colleagues. It's like fish in water.
Do the girls want to?
No, two of them quit.
Oh.
Two of them quit. The others need work, so they just line up and take a kiss. Have a look at this photo here.
Is it on the lips? Or is it on the cheek?
And it's a lasting. It's not just a quick peck.
Oh, come on.
Imagine that moment.
Do you know, the other story? Did anyone see this the other day? But there was a woman, and she had a wedding, and to raise more money for her honeymoon, she let her guests touch her boobs.
Yep.
Oh,
imagine if we did that at your wedding, sir.
Man.
It would have been worth something. So, Whipper, yesterday when you came around and stood next to me, leant in and tapped your cheek, and I leant over and gave you a kiss on the cheek, what was that?
You do that every Friday
with all the female staff.
Yeah,
It was actually instinctual this time. I just leaned over and went, hi.
Wonderful point, mate. I mean, I presented the cheek. You didn't have to land one on
it. They call it Stockholm Syndrome, when your captor has beaten you into submission.
Sarah, it is a weird relationship because you do sit on his lap as well.
I haven't done that in years. Whipper used to come and sit on my lap, which was bad for my knees. There's something going on here.
I mean,
very weird.
No, it's
you
not.
Slept with my best mate in my bed. Everything's a little bit close to home. Isn't it? Oh, wow. We've told you too
much. Well done, Sam. We'd have a chat to him, but he hung up ages ago.
We lost him.
Do you know what we forgot yesterday? And I feel so bad.
You're okay.
Hugh Jackman's birthday.
How old is he?
Let's play. We're on Kate, Tim, and Marty's age game. Sarah, don't look. You just looked.
I haven't. Look at the screen. I just opened the internet. Now that we're playing,
let's all play. And Tommy, can you please find out?
Yes, ready to go.
Okay, 49.
Oh, okay. What are you going to go
47.
With?
47.
I'll go 45.
Sarah wins. He's 48.
Always.
Oh, well done. Okay. Sarah. Good get.
48. Jeez, he's pushing 50.
Do you go up?
Yeah.
Jeez, he's in good nick.
Didn't know that.
Bit shattered. Because, you know, Whipper and I always say, whenever we're asked who's the best interview you've ever had, Hugh Jackman.
You don't interview Hugh Jackman. You have a conversation with
Hugh
Jackman.
He's amazing.
That's the difference. Don't write any questions for that guy.
And you know what? In this game, in this industry, we get asked to, when we get a guest on, you got to do something outside the square, something a little bit different. With Hugh Jackman, you know, if you're going to do that, he's always up for anything.
Yep. Yeah. Amazing bloke.
He's great. But do you know what I thought? I mean, 12th of October, if you've got your birthday on 12th of October,
yep.
Thinking that's awesome. You've got the same birthday as Hugh Jackman.
Yeah.
Have you guys ever checked the big celebrities that are on your birthday?
Yes. Yeah,
occasionally.
Well, don't
look
tell
around.
Us there because we're going to go through them in a sec.
Okay.
Because I had no idea.
Mm.
Right? These are some of the celebrities that are on my birthday, which is this Sunday, the 16th of October. Here's a bit of a clue that I'm going to give away. Tommy, this one's for you.
Okay.
Who's this?
Oh, well, that's the theme to Murder, She Wrote.
Yep.
So the lead is Angela Lansbury.
Angela Lansbury's got the same birthday as me.
Same birthday as you.
Because you used to love that show, didn't you?
Love her
love that show.
Yes.
How weird is that growing up loving Murder, She Wrote?
Well, it still screens. It's now on the ABC.
Not interested.
Because I'm also on the 16th of October is Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Okay.
Tim Robbins from Shawshank Redemption.
Yep.
Tommy Williams that we know as well.
Absolutely.
Here's another audio clue for everyone. 16th of October.
John Mayer.
Your body is a wine.
Is that on your birthday too?
See, I didn't know this.
You've got a good lineup.
Whip, do you want to go through yours?
I love the celebrity birthday game.
We've got Andrew Dice Clay, who's a comedian. He's a big comedian. One of the best basketballers in the world at the moment. Kevin Durant, same as you.
Durant, massive.
Silvio Berlusconi, who was the Italian PM. He did the Bunga Bunga parties.
Yeah, that's right. Berlusconi.
Berlusconi, sorry. And didn't know this one. Former PM Julia Gillard has the same birthday as you. Whip.
An absolute honour to share the 29th of September with Julia Gillard.
There you go. So I didn't have any audio clues for you there.
You didn't have any glad
Maddie
at all.
Maddie DeGroote, this is a big one. When's your birthday?
December 13th.
You've got this person.
Oh,
Swiftie.
Jamie Foxx, Steve Buscemi, Ricky Fowler, the golfer. I mean, massive.
If you're doing Who's Got the Best Birthday by Celebrity lineup so far, I am smashing all y'all.
Yeah, you are. Yeah, that's pretty big. You're winning so far. Oh, Julia Gillard.
Sarah, when's your birthday?
3rd of March.
3rd of March. You've got the actress Jessica Biel,
yes.
Same birthday.
Yeah, okay.
Mad Max creator George Miller.
Yeah, very creative director. Man.
Yep. And this man.
Oh, wow.
You say nothing at all. When's your birthday?
3rd of March. Thanks for remembering. I think Ronan and I should plan a joint birthday party.
Well, next time he's in,
yeah.
He's got something in common.
We're both Pisces. Oh. Best star sign.
And you look so much like Reese Witherspoon.
Yeah, but she and Ronan have nothing to do with each other. So where's that going?
I mean, if you were just to do a duet, people would think it was Ronan Keating.
Tommy, let's get on to you, Tommy.
There's also just nothing very quickly as well, less sexy than someone saying, oh, we have the same star sign.
Oh, I heard you groan when I said that. Zip it to group. As if you haven't used that as a pickup line.
No.
Oh,
anyway.
Whatever.
That's Tommy, what's your birthday?
February the 26th, also a Pisces.
Now, you've got the Brady and...
It's because I read my horoscope to Tom sometimes and say we're going to have a really good week.
You've got the great Australian actress Teresa Palmer, same as you.
I love her.
Hang on a minute.
Yes?
We were in LA one time and this bar had closed, okay?
Yeah.
So we couldn't find Tom. Remember we were out the front of the bar, couldn't find Tom, went back in while they were clearing the place out and the cleaners were coming in. Tom's hanging over the bar trying to chat up the bar girl. And who was it?
It's Teresa Palmer.
Was it really? Was she the bar girl or was she...
Yeah, I think she was.
Or she
was working
yeah,
there.
Yeah, she was working there. I gave her my working. Card.
Well, also...
Yeah, just sleazing over the bar.
In
dribbling.
LA, that's funny, because that's a good segue into the next one, where you had a ring of fire. Johnny Cash, same as you as well, remember?
Johnny Cash!
Yeah. And I've got one more audio clue for Tommy. Same birthday as this guy.
Tommy!
Don't touch me here!
Michael Bolton!
Wow.
We don't play enough Michael Bolton here at Nova.
Well, it is Throwback Thursday after 8:30, maybe.
Should we just let it roll then?
Well done, guys.
Thanks,
so who wins
mate.
Out of that, Fitz?
The winner.
I mean, Mr. Groot.
December 13. I think De Groot does.
Yeah. Oh, how do you beat streaks
and Taylor Swift, Jamie Foxx. Bachelorette last night, Georgia Love just was on fire. She went into meltdown and she got rid of four different guys. One of them is Sam and he joins us now. Sammy
welcome.
Hi guys, thanks for having me.
Mate, can we just firstly talk about your rivalry, I suppose. I'm not using the word hatred. For Reese. You guys were fairly different sort of blokes. For what we saw on the show, was that in real life? You didn't like him or you didn't get on?
No, he's a great guy. He actually is really good. You know, we shared a room together, bunk beds side by side, I think. He is definitely a bit of a weirdo and does weird things, but it's nothing like it's...
Why you were good, because you were probably the only honest one in the house. And the bad thing with The Bachelorette with Australian guys is that all Aussie guys probably get along, you know? Mm. Like, the whole house, you're all mates.
Yeah.
And even though you're vying for George's love, you get along really well, but you were brutally honest with some of the boys. You just found them boring.
Yeah, some of the guys were a bit boring, I think. I think you guys have seen that as well, so... Yeah. Definitely, like, let people know what I think of them, and
you're the first one that's been completely honest, because you wonder quite often what are people really on this show for, and it turns out last night we found out that you had other aspirations than just finding love. Let's have a listen to this moment.
You know, the plan was to head back and live in LA and study a bit more acting and a bit of presenting. Maybe you can teach me.
So you look at this as like presenting and being on camera.
Yeah, kind of. You know, I'm open to anything, and if it happens, it happens. I didn't, you know, if I left this experience without you, I wouldn't be absolutely heartbroken.
you're in it for a showreel, Sammy.
Oh, God.
See, but just before that as well, because you went with your nemesis, Reese, on a date, and Reese stuffed up by saying, I'm not really ready to find the one yet. So he got the boot. And then you would have been confident that you were going to stay because you're two on a date. You would have. He's been booted. I'm going to get the rose. So was it a bit of a surprise when she said you're gone?
Yeah, it was. You know, I think after Osha reading that the date card, and once Reese had left, I thought I was killing it.
Mm.
Sam,
I really thought
knowing that's what you were after, fame rather than love. What would you have done if you'd been the winner? And you'd got to that point where she's standing on a cliff or wherever they put them, and she says to you, "You're the one. I'm in love with you."
Yeah. Definitely going on this show, that the reason wasn't to go in for fame or publicity. I think the whole experience was an enjoyable experience, and that was the reason why I did go on the show. And I think I did go in trying to find love, but we didn't have a good connection, didn't get my one-on-one to so far in the show that I just had probably a bit too much fun.
Let me ask you this question then, and let's be honest, you weren't 100% on Georgia yourself, personally.
Yep.
Let's say if she was really keen on you, and then she was starting to show, Sam, I really like you, and it looked like you were doing well, would have you jumped ship before you went all the way to the end, or would have you gone all the way through with it?
If I really liked Georgia, I would have stayed and definitely pursued that for sure.
But could you see the rest of your life with Georgia, though?
It's a hard question.
Yeah, no, personally. If you had to make the... Halfway through that series, you got booted last night. Could have you seen yourself spending the rest of your life with Georgia Love?
It's not what you're in there for,
is it? If you're hesitating like that, I'd say no.
That's a nice.
I really haven't imagined myself spending my life with anyone yet.
Have you ever been in love?
Yes, I think I have.
You have?
Yeah, high school love.
Did you have that same feeling with your high school love than you did with Georgia Love?
No, it's hard to fall in love when I only have
7 weeks
of very limited time to spend with her.
But, well, I'm putting him under the pump.
Yeah,
it's all good.
Who do you think the biggest competition is in there, though?
I'd probably say one of my close mates, maybe Maddie J or Jake.
Right. I reckon Lee's killing it
at the
moment.
Lee? Yeah, Lee's killing it. He is good.
But you didn't get a pash, did you?
I didn't.
I still don't reckon you were 100% on Georgia,
mate. No, well, have a listen to this. This is the other moment from last
night. I tried my hardest and, you know, was open and honest with you, and if you don't like me, then I'll be upset, but not. Yeah.
But I just need to do what's right by me. I just don't think we're on the same page. I don't think you are here for the same reasons as me.
Finish this sentence. I'll be right, but not.
But not devastated, mate. I think in a way you've dodged a bullet, because if you did go a little bit longer, I think, and then you brought all this stuff out, it would have been worse for you.
Yeah. Well, that was definitely my first one-on-one chance to really express my feelings and tell her what I wanted. So it was good to get it out there and not tell any lies, I guess.
All right. Here's another question for you.
Geez, you're going hard.
Aren't you?
Oh, it's good. Your
honor. What if whoever wins the Bachelor, we find out very soon. What if she makes a Blake Garvey decision and says, "Nah, I'm not actually in love with this guy," and comes back to you, Sam, and says, "I really like you."
Do you
continue the relationship?
It's a real stretch.
Of course. 100%. I don't know Georgia that well.
Yeah.
So I'll definitely be interested to see what happens for sure.
Okay.
Bugger, yeah. And I wanted it.
It won't happen, mate. That's fine. I needed
a headline.
I hope you're enjoying single life, mate. Everything's good?
Everything's good.
Fantastic. All right. Well done, mate. From the show. The first contestant to actually admit that they went on a reality TV show for media exposure instead of love.
The Bachelorette continues tonight, 7:30 on Channel 10. Sammy, appreciate you coming in, bro.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it. Fitzy and Whipper.